Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Learning to Improve by Anthony S. Breich, Louis M. Gomez, Alicia Gruno, and Paul G. LeMahieu is a non-fiction education book that examines why repeated school reform efforts often fail to produce reliable, lasting improvement. Published by Harvard Education Press, it is aimed at educators, school leaders, researchers, policymakers, and others concerned with persistent problems in K-12 and higher education. The book argues that education has too often relied on large mandates, broad programs, and rapid implementation before practitioners understand how an intervention works across varied local conditions. In response, the authors introduce improvement science as a disciplined method for learning from practice, testing changes on a manageable scale, and refining solutions before attempting broad use. A central contribution is the idea of networked improvement communities, in which educators and researchers collaborate around shared problems of practice. The book is both conceptual and practical, offering a framework for making educational improvement more systematic, cumulative, and evidence-informed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, improvement science as an alternative to reform churn. The book positions improvement science as a corrective to a recurring pattern in education. New reforms are adopted with urgency, implemented broadly, and then replaced before their strengths, limits, and conditions for success are well understood. Breich and his co-authors argue that this cycle produces activity without dependable learning. Improvement science changes the unit of attention from the reform idea itself to the process by which people learn how to make an idea work in real settings. This means treating implementation as inquiry rather than delivery. Educators identify a specific problem, develop a theory about causes, test small changes, study evidence from those tests, and revise accordingly. The approach draws from fields such as healthcare and quality improvement, but the authors adapt it to the complexity of schooling. Its practical force lies in slowing down the urge to scale while speeding up disciplined learning. Instead of asking whether a program works in general, the method asks what works, for whom, under what conditions, and why. That shift makes improvement less dependent on compliance and more dependent on learning capacity. Secondly, precise problem definition before choosing solutions. A major theme of learning to improve is that schools often rush toward solutions before they have adequately understood the problem they're trying to solve. The authors emphasize disciplined problem analysis because educational difficulties are rarely caused by a single factor. Low achievement, weak transitions to college, poor feedback systems, or uneven instruction may reflect interactions among routines, incentives, training, materials, expectations, and local constraints. If leaders define a problem too broadly, they may select interventions that appear plausible but do not address the underlying system. The book, therefore, treats problem framing as a technical and social task. Practitioners must gather evidence, examine how current processes actually operate, and identify where failures occur for different groups of students or teachers. This approach discourages blaming individuals and instead asks how organizational arrangements produce recurring outcomes. The practical implication is important. Improvement begins with a more accurate map of the work. A well-specified problem makes it possible to design targeted tests of change. Interpret results more intelligently and avoid expensive implementation of solutions that only match the surface symptoms. Thirdly, using variation as evidence rather than treating it as noise, the authors give special importance to variation in performance across classrooms, schools, districts, and student groups. In many reform efforts, variation is seen mainly as an obstacle to standardization or as a statistical problem to be averaged away. Learning to improve treats variation as a source of learning. When similar settings produce different outcomes, those differences can reveal how local conditions influence implementation and results. This matters because education systems are heterogeneous. Students, teachers, communities, resources, and organizational routines differ widely. A strategy that succeeds in one place may fail elsewhere unless the field understands the conditions that supported success. Improvement science, therefore, uses data not only to measure final outcomes but also to study processes, adaptations, and failures along the way. The focus is not data collection for accountability alone, but evidence that helps practitioners decide what to try next. This view also changes how people interpret disappointing results. Failure in a small test is not simply a reason to abandon an idea. It can clarify the assumptions that were wrong and guide a more effective revision. Fourthly, networked improvement communities as engines of shared learning. One of the book's most distinctive contributions is its discussion of networked improvement communities, often abbreviated as NICs. These communities bring together practitioners, researchers, and organizational leaders around a common aim and a shared problem of practice. The logic is that isolated schools or classrooms can learn from their own experiments, but a coordinated network can learn faster and more cumulatively. Members test changes in different contexts, compare evidence, identify patterns, and refine tools or routines that others can adapt. The network structure is intended to overcome two common weaknesses in education research and reform. First, research knowledge often remains distant from daily practice. Second, local innovations often remain local, with little mechanism for disciplined accumulation. NICs attempt to connect these worlds by making practitioners co-producers of usable knowledge. The book does not present collaboration as informal sharing alone. A productive network needs a clear aim, transparent measures, disciplined inquiry routines, and norms that support honest reporting of results. Its value lies in organizing many small learning cycles into a collective improvement enterprise. Lastly, scaling improvement through adaptation rather than replication. Learning to improve challenges. The assumption that successful educational interventions can be scaled simply by replicating a fixed model. The authors argue that schools are too context-dependent for that logic to work reliably. Scaling requires understanding which elements of an intervention are essential, which can be adapted, and how local systems must change to support the work. This makes scale a learning problem, not merely a distribution problem. The book's emphasis on rapid testing and network learning is meant to build knowledge about implementation across varied settings before expansion becomes too broad. Adaptation is not treated as a dilution of quality. It is a necessary part of making a practice function under real conditions. At the same time, adaptation must be disciplined, guided by evidence and shared aims rather than personal preference alone. This has implications for policy and leadership. Mandates may create pressure to act, but they rarely create the routines needed to learn from action. So, sustainable scale depends on capacity, people, measures, feedback loops, and organizational habits that support continuous refinement. In conclusion, learning to improve is most useful for readers who are responsible for making educational change work in practice: district leaders, principals, teacher leaders, instructional coaches, education researchers, foundation staff, and policymakers. It is also valuable for graduate students studying school reform, organizational learning, or research practice partnerships. The practical benefit of the book is that it gives readers a disciplined vocabulary for moving beyond the familiar cycle of adopting programs, monitoring compliance, and waiting for results. It shows why improvement requires sharper problem definition, attention to variation, small tests of change, usable evidence, and collaboration across sites. Intellectually, the book reframes school reform as a problem of learning systems rather than a problem of finding the single correct intervention. That makes it stand out from many education books that focus primarily on policy prescriptions, leadership traits, or program advocacy. Its distinctive contribution is the combination of improvement science with networked improvement communities, offering a method for generating knowledge while acting on urgent problems. The book does not promise easy transformation, and its approach demands sustained capacity and cultural change. Its strength is precisely that realism. It treats improvement as organized, cumulative work rather than a slogan or a one-time reform initiative. If you would like to support Anthony S. Breich, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.